Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, what a mark, McGavin!
It's a bouncing ball, couldn't get there. Fantasia still a chance. Looks up, fakes, the shake and bake, kicks around the body, outstanding. As good as it gets.
Big Falcon off Harms, will give it a goal assist, straight to Neil Bullen.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is AFL Round 16 wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. I don't know if there's any surprises this week, but Josh, you got a highlight for the weekend past?
Always got to be Bobby Knuckles.
Bobby Knuckles, wasn't it?
Bobby Knuckles, yep.
Do you got any idea where he got the nickname Bobby Knuckles?
No fucking clue.
Yes, I do, actually, because I was actually on Twitter drunk tweeting when they first got it, which was when he starched, I think it was Derek Brunson.
Not that long ago.
It was one of the, I'm pretty sure it was the MMAfighting.com correspondent who just coined the term on Twitter, and then someone got it and it stuck, and then everyone sort of followed along, except for Robert Whittaker, who's still going with Reaper.
He's still going with Reaper, but it'll change pretty soon. He'll get a lot more attention now.
And, yeah.
Robbie Whittaker, for those who aren't following along, won the interim middleweight title on the weekend.
Yeah. I thought, no excuse for not knowing. It's been everywhere.
Yeah. It's been great. But
Poor old Jeff Horn from last week. He's like, he's planning to ride this way for a bit, and just not. Robbie Whittaker comes along.
Time of the sun's done, champ.
Technically, only Aussie by, well, his dad and adoption.
He's fighting under our flag. That's all we need.
Yeah. And top bloke. Even a gooder bloke than Hodgie.
Well, that's what I was saying on Twitter. Is he's like the Dan Ricciardo of mixed martial arts, where everyone loves him. Even if you're not Australian, even if you're not a fan of mixed martial arts in general, he's the one person that you can associate with. Pretty disappointed that no one gave him a shoe and some champagne, though, in the octagon there.
Would have been nice. Yeah. Would have been nice to see.
Bisping almost tried to.
Well, that's very funny, because when Bisping got in the ring, you knew, like he said, you know, I was going to talk some shit, and then he threw his belt down and tried to talk some shit. But you know, he wrote that thinking Yoel Romero's going to win.
Yeah, for sure.
And then he went, well, I'm here now, I'm going to go with it. Yeah. Whittaker's perfect. Oh, thanks, bro. Can I keep that? It's like, he's not going to get sucked in. He's not going to change. Yeah. It's like, man, this is awesome. I got this belt. Fuck off, I don't care.
I was surprised Bisping's music didn't start halfway through announcing the championship or something. Because, look, he's got to sell the fight.
Yeah.
And fair play.
Been his skill too.
He's trying to make something out of it. Yeah. Because he knows Whittaker's going to take the nice guy out, because that's just what he does.
And but, look, that's what they need. They need it in Etihad Stadium. They can break the records for the gate if they keep it reasonably priced.
Yeah, say,
and all they do is just lean on the Australian, US-England rivalry. That's all you do is lean on that.
Is this an Ashes year?
Yes, it is.
Fucking
wow.
Hell.
There you go.
Imagine that.
Hey, Boxing Day test.
Oh, leading into.
Leading into December 30th. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be
fucking
perfect.
Hell.
I already tweeted out the UFC to make it happen at the stadium. You can break some records. You could also build up your market share in these both continents, because Australia is slowly getting around to the UFC or the mixed martial arts.
I tell you what, you do it that in or around Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Oh, God, there is no doubt they'd sell out Etihad, even with their exorbitant prices.
Yeah.
Shit, I better not say that. They'll probably go with it.
Yeah.
But let's have a look at it. It's been great following his run since he's gone up to middleweight. Because when he beat Uriah Hall, that was one of the greatest fights I've seen, because it was so tense.
Yeah.
And you can see how he thought it around it, and how good his coaching, his tactics were.
Or a kick, as it was.
You know, in that division, it's been a little bit, people said, you know, Bisping's not really a good champ. You know, he caught Luke Rockhold snapping. Yeah,
doesn't matter.
There were two monsters in that division, absolute monsters, in Romero and Jacare.
Yeah.
He's beaten them back to back.
Yeah.
Mm. That is phenomenal. That's the greatest thing to happen in that division that doesn't have Anderson Silva in the title.
Yeah, and nullified their strengths as well, which is wrestling and jiu-jitsu. Oh,
and did it so
well. His takedown defense was incredible against Romero.
Incredible.
Like, obviously, you're always going to get caught pinned down at some point, and that's just got a given. That's because how good Romero is.
Yeah. He was coached well, though, because he knew Romero's a big motherfucker.
Yeah.
He knew that much muscle takes a lot of gas to keep going. And at the end, Whittaker was gassed, but Romero was fucked.
Yeah. Yoel gassed first.
Yeah. But I think that Whittaker just realised, obviously, it was coached well, that you just need to remain tight and be patient in how you escape those positions. Because as soon as you try and scramble, you're going to give up opportunities for them to be able to advance the position or sink in submissions.
Well, it did look like the one time he got taken down, he was, hang on, let's get stood up.
Yeah, yeah. And that was fair enough, because it was halfway through a round in the middle of the octagon.
Yeah. He tried, but, you know. Yeah.
I think that was round two, so.
Didn't quite work out for
him. I think the no-ego part for him really serves him well. Because you see so many guys go, all right, he's a good striker, I'll outstrike him. Or he's a good grappler, I'll grapple him. And just the ego speaks to their tactics. Yep. Whereas Whittaker doesn't seem to have much of an ego. I mean, obviously he's got some. You don't decide to bang with another bloke in a ring without some level of alpha male super bro confidence. But he doesn't let it get in the way of winning.
But another Ultimate Fighter champion that's gone on.
Yeah. And I think that
fighting another Ultimate Fighter champion, actually. Yeah. Didn't put that together.
And so, if we can get Bisping versus Whittaker in Etihad, I think that would be a massive win for not only mixed martial arts in Australia, but also for the UFC and expanding, just getting people on board and getting that education behind the casual fan.
Yeah, because he'll do a lot of press, hopefully, and you're going to find out, he's not a knucklehead.
Yeah.
Bobby Knuckles, but...
Yeah, first press conference being Gold Coast, for sure.
Yeah. And while we remember, Ben, you got a beer of a week as well.
I
think we've covered off the highlight, haven't we?
Well, no, I've got another highlight.
Oh, you got another highlight?
I've got a lowlight, actually. But first off, I've got my beer of the week, which is actually, we're drinking it right now. It's the Boat Rocker 6. Boat Rocker are an Australian brewery based in Brayside out near Dandenong. But they've been sort of specialising in sour, naturally fermented or spontaneously fermented beers, almost like a European style of sour beer. And they've been killing it. Like, they're one of my favourite breweries in Australia at the moment. And so we've got a very rare release, which is the Boat Rocker 6. Basically, it uses six different Brettanomyces, which is... It's a funky sort of taste. It's almost like the blue cheese of beer,
right?
Where like the those that love it and they're those that have got no fucking idea what they're talking about.
Yep.
So Brettanomyces basically is like this yeast or this you'd almost call it like a fungus that grows on the skin of fruit. So when you ferment this beer with yeast, you put it out near a fruit orchard, and naturally you'll get the winds blowing the yeast into the beer, which gives it, generally it is actually spoiling a beer, so it's making it, you know, bad. But if you can control it, then it makes it, you know, some unique flavors, same as cheese. So yeah, we've got Boat Rocker 6, who just released this, and it was also their Ramjet week, and my beer of the week would have been Ramjet, but the place sold out of it. Oh. Overnight, so yeah, didn't get a chance to put the Ramjet Stout in there.
By the way, the beer of the week's getting out there too. I think it might be one of our loyal listeners in Clown Assassin.
Yeah,
had a go at me. He said, "Oh, I wouldn't mind trying that." And I said, you're into some ice cream flavored beer?" He went, "No, I hate beer. I like lemon meringue."
Yeah, well, trust me.
And then he corrected me and said, "Ice cream isn't a flavor." But anyway.
He's got a point there. It's not. And it was like it was a texture of ice cream and the flavor of a little bit of vanilla. But the lemon meringue one has like a huge lemon punch in it, which is absolutely incredible. So yeah, if you want a flavor of beer, try these ones, because if you just gave someone a blind tasting, they wouldn't imagine it's the beer. Yeah. They think it's like a nice cocktail or something like that.
And your low light you mentioned?
Mm. Well, actually, before that, going to say the Boat Rocker 6 bottle. Whoever's done the copy for the label has really gone to town. Fermented in French oak barriques for more than 12 months using six different strains of Brettanomyces. A young culture of Pediococcus.
Yeah,
this beer exhibits fruity esters on the nose with some cleansing acidity on the palate. Now that's just grade 7 wank, surely.
It is beer wank for this is going to be funky as shit. Yeah. And so if you're not into real funky smelly stuff, then don't even try it. So yeah, it is really like anything with Brettanomyces is, or any sort of wild fermentation is the blue cheese of beer.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a bit of an acquired taste, but yeah, I like that funky shit.
It's like the wine when they talk about there's notes of aniseed and wild African fruits and stuff. And you're like, it's fucking great.
Yeah, you're like, someone peed in the vat, let's be honest.
Well, don't get me wrong, I think there's a brilliant difference between a shitty cask bottle and a great bottle of wine. But
a cask bottle?
Yeah. Cask bottle.
Yeah.
Cask bottle. Yeah. You know,
cask enclosed.
Yep.
Cask aged bottle.
But yeah, I think you can gild the lily a little.
Yeah. So my lowlight of the week was, once again, some poor little Japanese lady had to fight Gabby Garcia.
Oh, fuck it. Oh, Jesus this.
Christ. Like, holy shit. I know we're sticking to MMA. Actually, how'd North do this weekend?
No, fuck that.
Hawks? Richmond with crap. It's UFC podcast then.
Well, I've got some footy stuff to talk about. Don't worry about that.
So anyway, if you haven't hammered home enough, if you look up Gabby Garcia, even her most recent fight.
She-Hulk.
An enormous lady who is very good at messing up people in real life.
Well, I remember when she was on The Ultimate Fighter
as a trainer
yeah.
for Wanderlei Silva. Yes. And Wanderlei is a big motherfucker,
yeah.
but she made him look fucking tiny.
Dwarfed
like,
him.
Literally.
Yeah.
Taller. She's about like 8 inches taller. She's got bigger biceps, bigger thighs, bigger shoulders.
Well, yeah.
I think she's a legit, we've gone through this before, 30 kilos heavier than Cyborg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the big lady in the UFC.
And they cannot find a fair matchup for her that isn't female.
Well, that isn't three little Japanese wrestlers in an overcoat.
Yeah, so it's just these, the only people they're going to take on fights in Japan because they love a good freak show.
Yeah.
So it's got Gabby Garcia versus some poor little Asian lady again. And
it's not a grandmother this time.
Surprisingly enough, I tell you what, give her a credit, the Asian lady won.
Yeah, technically, yeah.
Technically she did. It's because Gabby Garcia got disqualified for 3 soccer kicks to the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, she punted the fuck out of that too.
And then was just nonchalant, which got disqualified, and they told her, you can't stop kicking the head. She's like, meh, I won.
I'm Brazilian.
Yeah. Yeah. 401-1.
Yeah.
I won. You're going to get laid now.
Yeah.
Who with? I don't know. I'll find someone on the way out.
They don't have a choice.
My highlight, highlight of the week was I actually played some poker. Last Friday night. I lost me money, but it was just good, you know, being at the table again and telling lies.
How'd Donk Duck go?
Very well. He was up far more than me. But it was interesting because there was one particular hand, because I was playing with Donk Stunks, if you listen to the gambling podcast, and he plays weekly now, if not a couple of times a week, whereas I play once every 18 months. There was this one hand where it was a big pot, let's say, I think it was a $300 call he had to make.
Damn.
And I was looking at it, and this other guy who had a lot of chips, I'm like, Dunk's got the best hand here, by a mile.
Yeah.
I hope he makes this call. And he had to tank and tank and tank, and he made the call, and all he had was like an eight, a pair of eights with a king kicker. You know, doesn't matter what the board was, but the other guy had fresh air.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, a couple of, maybe one or two cards higher than the eight on the board. So he called with like third pair, and an okay kicker. Yeah. I looked at it and went, wow. You know, and we were talking about it afterwards. I said, that's the difference. You know, I knew you had the best hand. I still wouldn't have called.
Yeah.
Like, he goes, yeah, but, you know, it was $250 call. That's right, because we were talking about. And he said, yeah, but that's the difference. You know, it's, I know this is just poker money. I can afford it. If I'm wrong, I don't care.
Yeah.
Whereas if it was me, if I was wrong, I was like, well, I'm done for the night.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm getting murdered when I get home.
Well, but the funny thing was with me, I had pocket aces 6 times on the night and held up every single time. I made maybe $27.
Holy shit.
There's no money.
That's great for pocket aces.
But I mean, they held up every single time.
I fucking hate pocket aces because that's in trips. You're always scared.
I loved it though. Like, but there's, you see the characters there, and the old blokes, they're the ones I like.
Because
they're the ones that are talking about their grandkids, and they're just having fun.
Yeah.
And then there's the young, I'm going to go to the World Series one day.
Yeah.
So anyway, this one kid, he got, pocket aces it was. He got it all in with pocket aces, and there was an ace-king flop. The other guy had kings, and the board ran out a straight.
Yeah.
So they split it.
Yeah.
And he's going, oh, well, you know, all I'm looking for is... that's what I said to him, you know, oh, at least you got a story, you know? Yeah. Let's not worry about it. He goes, yeah, well, I'm just looking for positive EV, and, you know, those are the spots that we live for. And I'm like, okay, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, well, I don't know what the other guy was calling for. Some other guy had, like, ace six.
Right.
And I said, yeah, but they were two suits, so he's got two chances for a flush, doesn't he? And he goes, well, anybody would know that the chances of either of those flushes coming out, I'm like, mate, don't worry about it.
Yeah, you missed it.
Don't worry, champ. You're beyond it. And he stood up, I don't know, 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
But I just thought, if you can't piss fart around.
Yeah. I love the poker geniuses.
Oh, Jesus.
They're the fucking worst.
That's playing with engineers.
I didn't bother. Like, why do I talk? So I started talking to Dougs and shit.
Oh, I love talking to those people. That's what I go to a table for, is just throwing those cunts up. Because you can pick them by the way. Like, it takes two hands.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. But it was a good thing I had the correct seat so I could watch the footy while I was playing. So that's why it's more interesting.
Yeah.
It was just a shame that Friday night the Crows and the Dogs didn't put on much of a show. Crows were just too good in the wet. Even McGovern taking big marks in the wet. That's impressive.
Yeah. And Bulldogs just couldn't kick a goal for a lot of the night, so it doesn't always help. Well, but I mean, they never looked like they were running ahead, did they?
Oh, they were up there at halftime. Like, there was only inaccuracy really putting them behind up to the half. But then third quarter, Crows just went, nah, fuck that.
Oh, second half, they ran away with it. But even, like, I know they were close at halftime, but it was still, they were lucky to be close, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They were getting their hands in the game shut close. Down.
Yeah.
Well, everyone seems to be wise to their handball around the back game now, and they're just putting in a person behind the pack.
I did like Luke Beveridge in the post-match. He's just saying, you know, I'm devastated. You know, this is shit. It's the worst I've ever seen us, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not blaming anybody else. It's all of us. You know, it was just good to see. You know, well, you know, things didn't work out. And we'll take this, you know, 1 week at a time. We'll
do you reckon as the mics are off though? He's like, fuck it, still got a flag.
probably afterwards. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
All right, boys, get fucked up.
It's like we keep saying. Like I always say, the thing about a premiership hangover is it starts with a premiership.
Yep.
Libba, you're driving, mate. Oh, fuck no, never mind.
Actually, did you see Libba's impression of BT on the cameras?
I did miss that.
Yep. No. Oh, him. Yeah, doing an impression of BT interviewing Johannesson. It's pretty hilarious.
I want him to have his own reality TV show. In fact, we may very well be living in Libba's reality TV show.
Some other privileged information I got about the Crows, actually. One of their junior players, when I say juniors, right. You know what I mean, first years, whatever. I don't know if he's even debuted yet. But I was talking to Donk Dunks about it.
Right.
And maybe, you know, somebody can probably figure out which player I'm talking about. But anyway, yeah, it's not a name that you'd recognize.
It's Charlie Cameron. Probably not me.
Anyway, he's a Melbourne boy and he wants to come back home. He's homesick. But anyway, he was dating one of Dunk's daughter's friends.
Wow.
When he was in Melbourne. Got drafted at the Crows. First day, nah, you're out, love. And I looked at Dunks, I'm like, fair enough.
You've been delisted.
Yeah. Like, you're a pro footballer in Adelaide now.
Yeah.
Like,
playing for Adelaide.
Yeah. I don't think he even got off the plane before he sent the text.
No, just changed his Facebook status to open relationship.
That did it. Just wander into planet on Tex Walker's wing and just whatever flies his way and just gets knocked down, grab that.
Yep.
It won't be bad class.
You can't blame a poor young lad for that.
Fuck no.
But anyway, the Crows are really back on top of here. And it was good to see Scotty Thompson out there again too.
Yeah, I saw JJ re-signed.
Yes, he did for the Bulldogs. Yep.
Yeah, $3 million over 5 years, I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
I think that's overs. Like, I know he's Norm Smith medalist, but he's had one real good season.
Yeah, I think he's been handy before that, and then he had a breakout year last year. But he's been down in form the last couple of weeks, but yeah. That's just down in form.
Just seems a bit Travis Cloakish.
I feel like he's worth more to the Bulldogs than he is them giving him up to another team who are going to make more advantage out of him, like him and who's the other fellow across the half-back line?
Lynn John?
No, their main, Elton. Wood?
Easton
Wood, yeah. Like him and Johannesson working as a pair, I think, has been what's set up their run through the middle. And so I feel like them losing him and giving that advantage to another team is almost a twofold loss.
Yeah, but he's already giving advantage to another team by kicking to them half the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's most of the Bulldogs at this stage, let's be honest.
Him in the grand final, he was doing that half the time.
I don't think it's that bad. He's been, like I said, down in form, but you got to remember too that the salary cap's gone up.
Yeah,
so
I guess
you got to, ration everything else up as well.
Well, he was asking $800,000 a season, and they went fuck off. So I think it worked out to about $600,000.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you can live on $600,000 a year.
Plus, they're getting the bonus in revenue, aren't they? Like each team, so generally, honestly, everyone's price is going up somewhat.
Exactly, the salary cap's increasing.
Yeah.
But no, a good win for the Crows, and that puts them back on top again.
Do you think they're contenders?
Yeah, of course they are. They're literally first on the ladder after.
But they've shown themselves to be quite fragile when the hard ball's played, which is finals football.
They've won some close games. Have they? No, they haven't really. They haven't been in any close games.
Not really.
But I think that's their strength, though, is that once they get on top, they run away with it a little bit. You got to get them early. Otherwise, you might be in trouble. Look, they've only lost three.
Mind you, at the moment, you can throw a blanket on four teams and call them all favourites and be justified in doing so.
Look, I've got four teams in my head that can win it, and they're one of them. So.
No, fair enough.
All right, on to Saturday. Hawthorn and GWS down in Tassie with a big draw. There's a lot of things to like about this game besides it being a draw.
Yeah, one of them wasn't the Guernseys.
Oh, that's pink, At least it's going to a worthy cause down there. It's not the Susan G. Corman, whatever that shit
or
is.
Or it being in Tasmania.
Yeah.
But Tasmania have already signalled their intention to not support either North or Hawthorn and try and gun for their own team.
I don't mind that.
I think that's the way they should be doing it.
I think they've decided that they don't want the methadone, they want the good shit.
Yeah, it's be a nothing family affair. That.
And they've gone all in, fair play.
Good try. Yeah, I reckon they should too.
But on the Guernsey, Hawthorn have got probably three of the top four worst Guernseys of all time, I think.
Oh, we've got the number one. Let's just get rid of that.
And that's just your everyday Guernsey.
the jockey Guernsey.
The jockey Guernsey, Power Rangers number two all time. I think you can argue from there on in. Everyone else can have arguments about their worst Guernseys, but we've got one and two sealed.
It's tough with the colours that you got to work with, let's be honest.
But I don't mind the brown and white stripes. I mean, brown and gold stripes. They're fine.
Yeah, I mean, just due to being used to it. They're still pretty shit colours to match together, let's be honest.
You wouldn't pick them now.
No, if you're painting a house, you wouldn't go, fuck, I think I'm brown and gold.
Well, back in, you know, 1943.
But didn't see anyone doing that after the three-peat. Although I've been down Noble Park along Jackson's Parade, Jackson's Road there, where I've seen someone still rocking out his Bulldogs painted fence.
Yeah, it's different when you're looking at an old weatherboard house in Footscray versus the mansions in Hawthorn.
Then again, he might not have painted it.
Let's not top it either. It's not gold, it's yellow.
Yeah, yeah, like, true.
Gold is a separate colour. Yep. They use gold for the Power Ranger Guernsey. Yeah. Didn't work.
Yep.
But anyway, worthy cause, you're right.
Yeah, anything about the game at all?
It ended a draw. But no, actually.
You got nothing?
There was a really good one where it bounced over Heath Shaw. That was fun.
Yeah, that was the last goal. That was Langford, which is an amazing effort to get that kind of bounce.
Yeah, but I felt that Hawthorn did a great job to try and lose this game. I felt that they should have actually kicked on and won, but almost just, I don't know what it was, if Gold Coast, if GWS almost all of a sudden turned on, but this has been the almost like a little breeding ground for Hawthorn down in Tasmania, where they can just, you know, have the young kids step up and just run away with games there, but they didn't manage to do it against GWS.
Well, you said Langford before with that goal. He had a pretty decent game.
He did. He missed an easy set shot earlier on. But yeah, he's playing as a tough forward. And I think they finally found that, you know, his skills aren't good enough to play in the midfield. He's still running through there, but
he's not a bad run with.
Yeah, exactly. But he's taking it on, which is what he's always done. It's just been abysmal with his disposal.
Yeah. Mm. But that's been sort of key with all Hawks players at the moment.
Yeah. But
like, even Mitchell getting lots of credit for lost possessions. But if the results aren't like, setting up goals or kicking goals, then it's kind of relevant.
Well, Langford just seems to get overwhelmed with options sometimes.
Sometimes he does.
In the midfield, he's kind of like, too late. Oh, I'll go. No. And he just gets frustrated himself. But in the forward line, he seems to be okay.
I did love the comparisons to his goal in the 14 grand final, which is the same thing. Just a little dribbler that's all of a sudden just kicked up.
Yeah.
An amazing bounce. And extremely unlucky that the siren went when it did. Just that literal half a second.
Yeah.
It was, I thought it was all fair. You know, it was definitely hit after the siren. Yeah. But God damn, that's the closest you'll ever see.
Well, I thought maybe this could be a little sort of audition for a spot in the midfield that's opening up next year.
With
the Hodgie retiring.
Yeah, so, off the back. Yeah. It was a good press conference, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. But, I mean, everyone had to expect it, surely.
Yeah.
You couldn't see with this downturn on form for the Hawks. They're going to be in rebuilding phase, and you always sort of get ahead of the curve. It's always better to be, you know, I mean, unless you're going to get Mitchelled out to the Eagles.
Imagine if he decides to go party on with Swanee and Jakey King.
Tyrone and...
Tyrone might be bouncing.
I think that party's finished somehow. Yeah.
I think it gets broken up by the cops pretty early.
I did like one of the journos asked, why are you announcing it in round 16? And he goes, well, 300 this week and I have to do one press conference then. I don't like this. Yep. but what I did like about the game was, you know, Hawthorn aren't playing finals this year.
Yeah.
So you'd say at the start of the game, if this was going to be a draw...
Is it still mathematically possible?
It is, but it's not going to happen.
Well, yeah.
At the start of the game, if you said Hawthorn, you know, 13th are going to draw with 2nd, you take the points.
Yeah.
So when they've kicked that miracle goal with 12 seconds left, they've gone, no, we're going to fucking win this.
Yeah.
There's no flooding the back line. It's, no, we're winning. We're going to go for it. Who cares? I love that attitude, especially with the young players out there.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. And the players had all the right ideas. Just doesn't matter. Just get it forward. And they just ran out by half a second.
Jono Patton, though, he had a great game.
He's a tower, isn't he?
The thing I like about him, he's not going to get a big head about it because he's got a tiny fucking
head. He's got a little pinhead.
Massive fucking shoulders.
What I love is he didn't actually get much of the ball, but 10 marks, 5 goals. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Well, you don't have to be a genius to play full forward.
No, exactly.
See ball, grab ball, mark ball, kick ball. Job done.
And I thought that Ryan Burton did an awesome job on Jeremy Cameron. Kept him down to 1 and kept up with him for most of the day. But like everyone said, 2 draws in a row for the Giants. First time it's happened since 1927 or some shit.
25, I think, Carlton.
Whatever. Yeah, but way back then anyway. So, yeah, there's another close one for the year. It's turning out more single-digit results this year than any other year ever.
Yep, and there's 2 in a row draws for GWS. Yeah. That's a record.
Yeah, as we just said.
Oh, cool.
on to the MCG.
Match the round.
Yep, okay. Collingwood Essendon. I thought that Collingwood put up a fight. I thought that's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
Cause especially early on, it looked like they were going to get blown away.
Well, they were leading partway through the first quarter and then just said, oh, fuck it, we're done.
Yeah. It looked like, oh, okay, it's going to get ugly from here on in. But they stood up. You know, I thought, again, I think they were just outclassed, but they did their best.
It still hurts to be outclassed by Essendon, though, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's already all the calls gone up for Bucks. Definitely got to make a decision now. Can't be waiting until the end of the season.
Look,
I feel everyone's pulling the knives out.
I feel like a fucking genius at the start of the year picking round 17.
Like
you've been proven a genius, can I be honest?
Well, it's rare enough that could possibly happen. But I think if they do go to Gold Coast, lose a Metricon, he's fucked.
I did hear, might have been on one of the radio stations, they said that Eddie McGuire is overseas at the minute. So he's not going to be sacked while Eddie's overseas. Yep. So that's the only thing that I think is going to get
you. If only he could find a phone.
He's not going to do this to Bucks over the phone. He's going to take him out to a nice restaurant, sitting down in the private cubicle.
Jerry Maguire him.
I am convinced, though.
You broke my heart, slap.
I'm going the other way. I'm saying that Buckley is going to resign.
Yeah.
He's not going to get sacked. He's going to wait till the end of the year and say, you know what? These results aren't good enough for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
You think they'll give him the sword and say, commit harakiri?
I hope he goes up there and he's like, it's not me, it's you. I've tried my best.
These cunts. which I've always turned around because I like him in the media as a coach.
Yeah, me too.
I don't like him in the media as a media person.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like it's refreshing, you know, perspective with him coming facing the media and also calling the media out on their own bullshit.
Yeah.
I find he's very honest in that and he's not just going to hold up into his shell and do the general media, lectured responses.
Yeah.
He's actually going to have some sort of personality.
The one I didn't like was apparently... There was a story going around today that Brad Scott to Collingwood and Nathan Buckley to North. That's fucked for both teams. Like, really? Neither team's going to be like, oh, that was a great option. No, that's shit.
I'd love it if Bucks went to North because he wants to get into a premiership. He's going to play.
Fuck off.
Yeah, if he's not coaching Collingwood, he's not coaching.
Yeah, no. But Fazzolo and Elliott had great games between them. Like, yeah. Seven goals, one between them.
Yeah, and talking about Fasolo, like, made the most of his opportunities, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he was a starving man, but he managed to put him through the big six when he had to.
Well, even Elliot coming back from, had a comeback, then another little niggle, then another comeback. So I feel like he's one person that's been integral for their forward structure. He's always in the marking contest, but he's also good around the packs as well.
Yeah. Very handy. And BT's favourite, Orazio Fantasia.
Yeah, he had a good game. He kicked a really nice goal with the... was going to hand pass it to Danaher if you're an idiot and you believe that. and then did the old run around and away he goes. I like James Stewart as well. He hit a couple of goals again. He's proven into a handy pickup because I think they paid nothing for him.
Yeah.
He's proven his worth down there as well.
Levi Greenwood's got a week.
Did he get one or two?
Really?
He got one.
He got two down to one. Yeah. It's one, yeah. I thought that's fair enough because I wasn't of the camp that thought he was, you know, deserving of four or five or six or seven or anything like that. He did get the shoulder first, but shoulder into the face. You got him in the face, mate.
Yeah.
You're going to wear a week for that.
And that's just what's been sort of, that is the sort of the structure on determining whether it's going to be a legal bump or it's going to be a legal error. It's just if it's a legitimate shirt front, hip and shoulder, then that's going to be weeks.
But I mean, he threw a forearm. He was lucky, actually, that he caught the shoulder.
Yeah.
I think they both were.
Well, less than Membry. Membry didn't catch the shoulder and knocked him the fuck out.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah. Treloar, though, well held.
Yeah, yep.
Kept into just, 21 possessions, but 14 of them were handballs and only seven kicks.
That's the main thing, too, is it's just handballs because he's a damaging run and kick player. So they've done extremely well.
Mm. You get him just fighting around behind the pack. Take that.
Every day, every day.
Very little impact on the game, which is unusual for Treloar. He's been a class act.
Yeah.
Essendon will be very happy. That's two wins this year over Collingwood, so they're doing their job.
That's their season goal, winning those big matches. they'll take that to the bank.
On to the Swans, who hosted the Gold Coast at the SCG. As soon as Gary Abbott pulled out of this game, I lost all interest in it.
Yep.
I thought that was the only chance that they had.
Yeah.
When he pulled out, you went, okay, they've conceded this one.
Franklin tried to keep it interesting for a little while.
It's funny. I was trying to think, you know, because you're always comparing to his Hawthorn days and his Swans days. And I thought he hasn't had the shocking days. Like every now and then he'd have them at Hawthorn.
We'd have 0-5 or something.
Yeah. He's had, I think once he kicked 0-6, but he had a good game. That might have been against, was it against the Tigers or the Bulldogs? Might have been the Bulldogs.
I think both.
Anyway, he's making up for the points recently. He's done all right.
Yeah, I mean, but he's always been one that's been doing his effort around the ground if there's not in front of goals. So you, unless you actually go watch the games, you don't realise what his output is. If you just watch it on TV, then it looks like he's doing fuck all.
I don't know. They follow him a fair bit with the camera on TV. He does
yeah,
all right.
That's fair enough, true.
But he's not one to handball that often.
No, and that's what makes him good. You don't want your full forward that much talent to handball.
Exactly. When you can kick it from 60, why don't you?
Yeah, otherwise you end up with Britcho.
After the game, Rocket Eid said Jared Witts deserves more praise, but I thought we'd been fairly even with him in saying that, you know what, he's had a great year. I know, you know, he stood up in quite a few games and he was the best ruckman on this ground.
Well, I can run with that. I think Rocket Eid, you know, you gotta have some positives.
Yeah, he's got to look for anything, doesn't he? Because it looks like Gary's either leaving or retiring.
Or taking Eid's job.
Yeah, every chance of that too.
Well, it could be young Sol taking Eid's job.
Even a caretaker, I'd like to see. Yeah. Even as a caretaker.
But it's going to be mass change at Gold Coast, let's be honest. With Gary moving out, I think there's going to be no sort of deniability that they're going to have to completely restructure everything. But they're waiting for the 2018 Commonwealth Games to rebuild their facilities, yeah?
Well, yeah, they're pretty much done now from memory, their facilities. The rest of the Comm Games stuff is still getting done.
I thought you were going to say rebuild their list. They'll just see who comes with a basketball background or whatever.
Actually, well, every year Sierra Leone turns up. I don't think they're even allowed in the Commonwealth Games, but they turn up anyway.
Yeah, they don't leave.
No, that's just it. They fucking stay. So, you know, you look through all the list of Equatorial Guinea and et cetera to see who the sprinters are and say, all right, lads, you want to, you know, hang out for a while?
Yeah. It's better than Apex gang.
Worth a try. Brisbane Lions got a fair old dicking from the Cats, which was marginally better game on the Saturday night. But, I mean, this was really a head-to-head between Dangerfield and Zorko. How's that? About 70 touches and seven goals between them.
Yeah. I feel like, obviously, you're always going to be pushing shit uphill if you're going to try and go head-to-head against Dangerfield, especially when you're in a team that doesn't have much support behind you.
Zorko did it, though.
Zorko, yeah. Zorko has been the one player that has been the rose amongst the thorns in Brisbane, where that team has let him down, as opposed to him doing his best to get the team up. He's doing everything he can, and he always has.
He's playing brilliantly. Like I said, massive.
Another team, he'd be like Brownlow middle contention year in, year out.
In another team, he's probably not getting as much of the ball because he doesn't need to either.
Yeah. But you might find he develops other aspects of his game where it's not about just getting the ball.
He's a bit like the shortstop. Like when the baseman drops the ball, he's there to pick it up. So he gets those other players' fumbles a lot.
Yep, that's the shortstop's role.
Can he get 3 votes in a team that lost by 12 goals?
Don't think so, no.
Actually, I think it's 14 goals.
14, yeah. I don't see it.
I can't see it either.
It's going to be commiseration vote that he gets, that one vote where you're really good but your team's shit.
The only way it happens is if the umpires give him 2 and then 1 as well, just because they got confused.
That makes sense. That would actually be a fair effort because he's had 36 touches, 4 goals and 12 tackles.
Jesus Christ.
I can't think of a better game.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
181 fantasy points, which is the most I've seen... Well,
for a long time, a very long time.
I think Fife had one a few years back.
He gets fantasy Brownlow points,
but like he deserves the 2 and the 1. Yeah, like, you're right. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah,
but no, the Cats were too good.
I'd love to see that happen, Brownlow middle night.
Oh, it, d- D Zorko and Z Dorko. Gotta try something. All right, how do we do this? The Tigers playing the Saints.
Well, this is how I did it. I said I went around to a friend's place and drank lots of whiskey and forgot the game was on. Didn't watch a kick.
Yeah, so did they, apparently.
Yeah. Well, it's not alone there.
I'd say one thing that the Saints have figured out, which I don't know why no one else did, was while Dusty's fending players off, he can't dispose of the ball. Yeah. So that's all right, while he's fending them off, someone else tackle him too.
Well, I mean, it's a brave man that steps off to tackle Dusty, but well, they've figured it out.
When he's not looking, not a bad play. That's the best time to tackle him.
I was watching some of this, though. The Saints were doing blind, no-look handballs out of packs, hitting blokes, running full clip without breaking.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do the same again. It was Globetrotter-esque at times, especially in that second quarter where they kicked, was it, nine goals to 1 point?
Yeah. Well, at halftime, 14-8 to 1-4.
Yeah, 88 points.
One point for the second quarter.
Yeah.
Especially after the Tigers beat Port last week in one of their greatest wins, and this is just unbelievable.
It was Richmond to a T, and I felt like this wouldn't happen against the Saints. I thought this was going to be one that we really needed to have a confidence boost behind, where it wasn't going to be close. And all of a sudden, maybe everyone just thought that someone was going to pick up the slack, but obviously the Saints always, they were too good.
You've got a few Saints supporters, mates. How many texts did you get?
Well,
or
luckily,
did they not believe it either?
Well, here's the thing. Luckily, on my phone, like, you can set up Facebook Messenger to only like run in the background if you're hooked up to Wi-Fi. So I've got mine set up to not do that, so I don't chew up all my roaming data.
Right.
Yeah, so I didn't get any of those messages until I came back home and hooked up the Wi-Fi, and then it's always, bruh, what's going on? Hey, what the fuck is this shit? And then it like gets more drunk and more progressively,
belligerent.
Bloating, towards the end of the match. So I was lucky I could just ignore all those and keep drinking whiskey.
The Tigers won the second half. I mean, there's that.
Dude, our third quarter was football.
It's funny that the Saints have had two massive wins this year, and the other one was against my side.
Yeah.
And in both of them, Josh Bruce has missed one from the goal square.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
that was pretty crazy.
I think his first one was worse, but it's up there.
The problem is that they've had people to share their attack around with. I mean, everyone like bigs up Membry for his effort, but he's going to be sitting out for a few weeks. So
3-2 he got.
Yeah,
they're lucky.
He'll take that.
They're lucky that they're obviously proved their goal spreading is pretty spread out amongst their squad.
Yeah.
And it was pretty disappointing to see that obviously they had to cheat by trying to wipe out Grimes in the first quarter. I feel like that was a dirty tactic. So, yeah, should be shame yourself.
See, Koch won't be going back-to-back either.
Yeah, he's probably going to be out for a little bit too.
We got another fine.
He got a fine.
That's
he needs
the third fine.
I think it's second. I think he's got one more this year.
No, I'm pretty sure that's his third.
Because if he's third, he gets a game. And I don't think he's got a game.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's got one left. One strike left. Or I don't think he qualifies for the five rule.
No.
Oh, right.
Well, technically he's a Brownlow medalist. Well, no. Not technically. He
actually
is.
Actually is, yeah.
Hang on. It's his second offence. No, does a third one will be one match suspension rather than a financial penalty.
There you go.
So half the Saints team kicked a goal or more.
It's not bad.
It's for a team who's sort of put their reputation on having a rock-solid defence and a forward line that imposes pressure when they turn the ball over. Saw none of that. None of it.
Like I said, at times it looked Globetrotter-esque.
Yeah.
I think
it was amazing.
The biggest thing I saw them missing was Bashir Hooley. Like, as much as we throw shade at him, he was the one where he would break lines without his pace.
Yeah.
Ellis, I think it was, just looked all at sea. He had no one running past him. Rance was left with no one to handball to half the time because Ellis was already running down the field.
Yeah, and I feel like Castagna in the forward line has been hit or miss. Like a lot of times, be liability or just his shit kicking for goal has been a letdown from set shots.
Games like that where you're down by 80 odd at halftime, I think you're just going to go, you know what, don't worry about it.
Yeah, but I feel like you're like St Kilda. They only play half a game of football ever.
Yeah.
So yeah, if they can kick 80 in a quarter in a half, then we can kick 86 in a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the way that I've sort of got through being a Tiger supporter for 20 odd years.
Good luck with that. On to the Sunday games and North versus the Dockers, and North did everything but kick the winner.
Well, literally. How good was Higgins' goal? That was bullshit.
That was amazing.
I would say that's a fluke, but he would have absolutely intended to do that.
Well, of course he did. Actually, Jason Dunstall was doing the comments on it and he called it perfectly. He said there was no other option. He had to go for it and he knew exactly what he was doing and hit it. Absolutely flush.
But literally, when he dropped the ball, his foot was on the boundary line.
Yeah.
So you can't get any wider.
Well, I think actually he might have been outside the boundary line. It could have been out of bounds, which just makes it even better.
Yeah, but big Toddy Goldstein, he's having a fucking shocking run.
Well, it is funny that they've got troubles with the big man department, and it's not Ben Brown, because Ben Brown played well and led well and marked well and kicked, what did he kick, 4 goals. So that's a great return from him. But you got Goldstein, who's clearly out of form.
Yeah.
And you got to ask, you know, is his head in the game, or is his body failing him?
Yeah.
He might be past it. And you got big Magic Door sitting in the goal square doing nothing.
Yep.
Would he have 3 touches, 4 touches?
There were a couple of times when he's one out or one versus two and looked like he's almost ready to break away. One when he's just outside the goal square. Managed to beat his man, get the ball, and then the second man comes across and tackles him to oblivion. Like, mate, you're built like a fucking Mack truck. You should be knocking cunts over left, right, and centre.
Then you got Proust, who gets his name in the paper and then doesn't suit up.
Yeah. Proust and Zuha is another young lad they got named as emergencies.
Yep.
I can't see why there is anybody getting a game ahead of Bajak.
Yeah.
Like, it's. I know we've spoken about how don't they? Like, they go, you know what, let's try Prusis or full forward, see what happens. Because it's not like Magic's taking rucks, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, he kicked a couple on the weekend, Prus, at Werribee. And
That's lovely for Werribee.
Yeah.
If he kicked one for the North, he would have done all right.
Yeah, fuck knows what's going on. I genuinely have no fucking clue as to why he hasn't been played. We've been harping on about it since round one. So, I don't know.
But with Magic, I mean, he signed a 3-year extension last year, and so, what are you going to do with him? You can't trade him because no one's going to pick him up.
No.
Oh, someone will. You'd probably end up paying most of his contract anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to pay him to play against you, and that's when he'll turn into a champion.
Yeah,
That's how life goes.
Hawthorn 2019.
As we're recording this, they haven't announced the NAB Rising Star, but if he qualifies on age, and I think he's damn close, Ryan Nyhus? Kicked 4 goals on debut, and apparently he's never kicked a goal on the waffle or anything.
Jesus. Well,
what's the rule? 21 at the start of the year, under 21.
I think so, but I'm not 100% on it, because I know he's 20, which means he qualifies.
Yeah, he'll be 21 in September. I think he's cool.
Was it the third goal, which was on the run from 50, running away from Tarrant?
Yeah.
And the camera was just perfectly behind it, and you see it looping in, you're like, this is going in.
Yeah, you know
that
it's money when
motherfucker.
You kick it.
Yeah. Beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
Well,
it's one of the few times Tarrant's been beaten this year, I think.
Yeah.
Like, a rookie kicking 4 goals, that's a beating.
Wow. 100%
it is. Even though Tarrant had him for probably, 80 minutes.
That's the lament of the backman, isn't it?
Yeah, very much. They even switched Tarrant forward to get him off him.
Well, right at the end, they did, because they needed a mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went, well, it's either Dorr or Tarrant. You got to take one, champ.
Yeah, and again, that was because Dorr and Brown are shoulder to shoulder all the damn time, and both of them going for a mark.
Yeah.
Those two, if they're going to play like that, need to be on opposite sides of the ground, or just one of them fuck off up forward, up midfield. Because it didn't work.
And Walters had another great game as well. Him and Hill, once they're up and running, geez, it's hard to stop.
That's a couple of weeks in a row that he stepped up as well. So
after missing the gettable goal against the Cats, it was,
I tell you, how good is Brad Scott, though? Makes tanking look so close to actually beating. Beautiful tanking act. Just fantastic.
Do you think, are they going to finish 17th, or do you reckon they'll climb up? I don't know what their run home's like.
Look, at the moment, they're playing teams, which might be beyond them.
Yeah.
But look, I reckon a 16th. The worst thing I could do is actually go on a tear now.
Yeah.
It's mathematically impossible.
Yeah. And finish 12th or something.
Yeah.
So I think while there could be a few wins in the offing, they'll kind of make sure they've got a game in hand to stay 17th. Yeah.
So put money where we finish in top four.
Oh, they should be killing it. But they've blooded 9 rookies. I think there's another 3 to go. And they'll definitely get a game coming up.
All right, well, it was a great win for the Dockers, though. They've got to be happy with that one. Even though, you're beating one of the bottom four sides, you've got to get it done on the day.
Yeah, goal kick straight, North win, but he didn't.
He didn't, yeah. That's exactly right. On to the MCG, we had Carlton put in a big effort against the Demons, but a little bit of heart shown from the Ds, especially coming back from a fairly decent first quarter deficit.
Well, you'd hope so, because Melbourne's consistency has been obviously pretty shithouse. And he's waiting for them to put in a four-quarter effort. Even if they win or lose, you still need to not get pumped, at least.
They've had some good ones. I mean, they won four in a row or five in a row, and then the debacle against Sydney last week.
Yeah.
So it's good to see that they bounce back, even though, you know, you've beaten Carlton by a goal.
Yeah.
But it showed a bit of guts. And great to see Hogan out there as well.
Yeah. Well, that's a close game that they had to fight through, whereas they beat the Crows, but they smashed them. It was ridiculous. Beat them away from Adelaide Oval.
Early in the year, yeah.
Yeah, which is obviously, that puts you in contention for being top of the ladder. It's like, that's like, if you can beat the Crows, then, you know, that's obviously a big feather in your cap.
Big one, yeah.
And so you should be able to continue that momentum onto other teams, but they just failed in their consistency in order to have a winning game plan against everyone. So I don't know if they're just one of those one-trick ponies where they match up well against one certain type of team with one certain type of game plan, or if they're actually going to be legit finals contenders that can really sort of have a malleable game plan that they can apply to the whole top eight.
Young Jeffy Garlett, too. He's been pretty decent this season. He had a pretty quiet game this game, but still managed to hit 3-1.
It's not a bad effort.
That's what you need for something like that. They don't have to be like fantastic and outstanding. They just need to kick those 3 or 4 goals, and that's their part done.
You're doing a good competing too. A lot of the times the ball is kicked on the ground, and it's sort of, he's the first one to it, but he's 1-on-2. You're like, just keep it there. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, and second efforts as well.
Yeah, he's brilliant. And on that, was it Jaden
Hunt?
Kennedy Harris.
Oh, Jai Kennedy Harris.
It could be his name. Yeah. He went for, in the last minute, he went for the little screamer over Daisy Thomas, I think, and then bounced back up and ran and got the ball off Simpson.
Yeah.
And it was just brilliant. You just see he's gone, I've stuffed up here. I shouldn't have gone for that screamer.
Yeah.
And he just bounced up, absolutely sprinted the shit. And Simpson was worried about the man.
Yeah.
He just ran right past him, picked up the ball, and, you know, just about won the game for him, that one, you know, scramble play.
Yeah.
It's what you love to see.
Well, I feel like that's been sort of one of the keys of that Melbourne squad, was that they've got their out-and-out stars and they've proven that they can be the backbone. But slowly but surely, they're having those mid-tier players step up. Like, I thought Jaden Hunt was killer in this game as well, running off that half-back line.
He's having a great year.
And just having a great ability to be able to look up and just understand what is going to be the smartest move or the smartest disposal for that game. And it shows in the confidence of young people like that, where he's not second-guessing himself. He's got the confidence to take people on. And yeah, really make a difference in their sort of progression from recovering from a back line into a forward line, you know, transition.
Tell you what though, Carlton didn't look too bad here. They got savage with injuries without Cripps.
Yeah.
But young Petrevsky Seaton, his goal was spectacular.
Yeah, nice goal.
Cripps is out for a while too, so.
Yeah, he's done for the year.
Yeah.
You know what? Carlton's been one of the more consistent clubs this year.
Yeah.
They haven't really been blown away.
Yeah. They're getting some nice momentum through their young players.
Yeah. Yeah, they've done really well. You know, even Cruiser matched up well against Gorn.
Liam Jones was handy.
It was just surprising.
And he's just signed another contract, which
deserved it.
I can't think of anybody who's turned their career around such a variance. Yeah.
And they've given him all sorts of roles, including Waterboy for a while.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's gone.
He's finally found out where he belongs, and that's the stone cold last line of defence.
That wasn't just a 180 on his career; it's a 540.
It's been amazing. And you can't.
That's right.
Yeah. You can't feel nothing but pride for him.
Yeah.
He's done so well. And he's now not just useful, he's crucial to him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
Which is, especially when they lost, was it Menzel then? No, who was it? That was half back, but he was like a big backman.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sure. It's phenomenal. I think Carlton, you know, not going to play finals this year, but geez, they just look like they're going the right direction.
Yeah. And you want to win those close games against teams in that similar situation like Melbourne.
Yeah.
Wiering was quiet.
Quietish,
He was sort of put out of the game a little bit, which was interesting.
It was easy to push off the ball, though, I felt.
I think his shoulders still aren't good.
Year two.
Young Petrarca, though.
He's getting bigger, isn't he?
Jesus Christ, lad.
Yeah.
He's on the protein.
He's on the creatine. He loves it. There's a couple of times where you just can't push him off the ball.
He could legit be a superstar, like a Judd-style player.
I was going to say a young Josh Kennedy with a bit more toe. Because he's just got that body and that frame. You're not going to push him off. Big things to come. Also, right at the end, when there was 40 seconds left, and I think it might have been Salem, I can't quite remember, who had the mark and his line up for goal and taking his full 30 seconds, and he's just going, well, I'm going to pass it.
Yeah.
And then Jordan Lewis can do the same thing.
Yeah.
I've always thought like teams should do that when they're trying to chew up the clock, just chip it.
So I said to Richard, man, Bashahuli, don't you have him half back, like from the full back line?
Yeah.
Pretend you're having a shot for goal. I know they just scored a point, but you get 30 seconds, champ.
Mate, there's a breeze here.
Yeah, pull your socks up, do your laces up, make sure the umpire knows you're going for goal from there, you know, centre square.
Yeah, do the Ben Brown thing, run all the way back into row M, Put the ball to your forehead and just start jogging in.
The problem is, do you then want Basher kicking it? To have a shot at goal, he's got to kick it down the middle. It doesn't work so well for
him.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe just take off
the
ball.
No, just do the NFL punter hang time thing. Boot it right up and then run and grab your own ball.
On to the final game, West Coast and Port. And Port finally got their win against the top eight side. Yep. And let's be honest, it was impressive. 8 goals in the final quarter.
Fucking Port. Like, every time I'm on them, they find a way to just turn into shit. And then every time I think, oh, all right, no, I've overestimated them, they come back with games like this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it helps when you've got Elon Musk coming flying in and trying to fix your power problem there in South Australia.
You've done right, haven't
they? I feel like, yeah, obviously he's paid dividends already getting him in town.
Just imagine that he turns up. He's like, so what is normal pay for sponsorship of power? 10, 15 million? Oh, we'll just make 20. It's easier. yeah, okay.
Is Elon American?
He's Yugoslavian American.
Oh, no shit. There you go.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I just made that up.
He would have been way more angry than that then. No. The fuck is this power?
I've always said, if it came out one day that we found out that Elon Musk was an alien, I'd be just like, yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Wouldn't be angry. Wouldn't be shocked. Nah. Just like, yeah, okay. Yep.
He's a weird motherfucker. South African-born, Canadian-American business magnate, apparently.
See,
now with the accent.
Even he... Even he doesn't know. Charlie Dixon had the best game I think he's ever played. He was a tower of strength down forward. He's kicked 5 and taken 7 big grabs.
Charlie Dicko.
To be fair, he hasn't really set the bar high on his average.
No.
His good games have been very good. But this is the first one where you think he was the difference.
Yeah, I thought so.
Well, usually I've thought he's been the difference, but not in a positive way.
He's been the light.
On wasted opportunity and such. He's
so been the best player on their team.
But I think this, finally, I mean, they needed a win against the top eight side, like we keep saying. Mm. And West Coast over there, it's no easy feat.
No. And it was close until the last quarter, so, I mean, it's a good effort.
And then they ran over. Yeah. And it was really the last 10 minutes of the final quarter. That was just unstoppable.
But you'd expect that from Port, who've always had a very strong running game. Yeah. But it's just a matter of doing it at Domain Stadium, which is a huge trip, obviously. Massive. So, yeah, it's always good to see someone be able to pump West Coast in their own stadium. Gives rest of us a bit of hope. Yeah. It is Port Adelaide.
I think last week, Vardy was the difference on West Coast end.
He absolutely was.
Yep. Only got 7 touches this one and kicked 1.
Yeah. And just if you're having a look at the stats right there, check out Paddy Ryder's fantasy score. Not a bad effort from him either. He's having a great year.
He is. He's had a couple of quiet ones, but they've been far less often than they used to be.
Ruckman's kicked 2 goals and he's had, 40-odd hit-outs?
Yeah.
In quite a few possessions as well.
6 tackles, that's the big one for me. If you get a ruck on the tackles, as a big lad like he does, and he's got a fair bit of toe for a big bloke too.
He's great mobility. It's when his head's in the game. Maybe this has probably been, it's easily his best year at Port, but it's been his best year probably of his career.
I think
it's no coincidence that the whole saga is behind him.
Yeah.
You know, especially when he's talking about family and that kind of stuff.
Before.
Yeah. So he might leap up into All-Australian contention if he keeps going this way for the rest of the year.
Definitely his name in the hat.
Yeah, well, you think of who are the other ruckmen being discussed at the moment? Grundy's thrown up there?
Change it every 4 weeks, to be honest. That's the way it goes.
Grundy's been the most consistent. Gorn's probably the best, if not for injury.
Yeah, well, he's sat out 10 weeks. You can't pick him.
It's hard,
Who do you throw in then?
Jacobs is doing well for a while.
Yeah, but he fades in and out.
Jacobs doing well like as a ruck player, that not in the actual ruck, around the ground is where I think he shows his true potential.
All right, but we're talking about this. Off the top of your head, who's winning the hitouts? I haven't got a clue.
I'd just guess Grundy.
Yeah. Or, I honestly don't know.
Or Sandilands might actually be ahead.
I'm trying to find it. Here we go. Currently is Sam Jacobs. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Mumford, Witts, Grundy. That's how it goes for just for hitouts.
Yeah.
Which I'm disappointed doesn't have hitouts to advantage on the AFL app. But yeah, there you go. I mean, I think he's still in that discussion.
Yeah,
and his form's getting better as the season goes on, so he'll probably improve.
While I'm looking at stats, Charlie Dixon leading the league in contested marks.
Yeah, he's like I said, he's
that's
had a good
not what you would have thought of last year.
Does that out on the fools?
equal lead with Levi Casbolt.
Oh, there you go. He's a monster with the marks too. So
he's a spectacular.
Oh, I thought that was out of the fools.
It could be with either of them.
All right, let's have a quick look at round 17 then. Getting on. Friday night at Etihad Stadium, Saints and Essendon. Great game, I think.
Great game.
Fuck knows.
Really cracker.
This could be an absolute cracker. or it could be a bit of a dead one. But both teams at their best play football that'll beat anyone.
Yeah, look, I feel like Essendon might have the composure to be able to beat the Saints and think their way through it.
Saints can't play that good again. They just can't. It's impossible.
Well, no, they don't have memory.
And I feel like they need the scramble in order to be able to, you know, out-hustle the other team. Whereas Essendon, I feel a bit more considerate with how they dispose the ball.
Yeah.
I think, though, with the Maddie game as well, everyone would have been, like, grand final mode.
Yeah.
To try and get up
it's their big marquee game for the year for them.
Yeah.
And it's such an emotive game, too, for them.
Of course it is.
Anyone who saw the event they had with it, like the purple lighting and the cameras and everything, it was just spine-tingling.
And all of Nick's family there, they're all in the crowd and everything.
So I think that will sort of exhaust them a little bit.
Maddie's game hangover, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed. Like we said, Nick Rewalt didn't come out to Voodoo Child or anything, and just didn't happen. But anyway. I think the Dons as well. Dons?
Yep.
Saturday, Geelong are hosting Hawthorn at the MCG. Big week, obviously. Hodgie's 300th, plus he's announced his retirement. I think that's the only reason that Hawks could beat Geelong is because it makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm still on Geelong. I think they'll get up.
Same. Yeah. I think there's just too much strength there.
Yeah, I mean, they're looking really good. They're sitting third, so it seems obvious to say they're premiership contention, but they've got the list to do it.
But then you see Hawks and how they did against Adelaide, and so there's always going to be a question. This could be a very good game.
Well, it could only be emotion that gets them over the line.
Yeah, sometimes that's enough.
Especially this season.
Yeah, that's all I got. So
let's be honest, if you're tipping Hawks, it's on sentiment alone.
They're trying to make an emotion at every game.
It's not on sense.
Is this guy fucked your sister?
No.
No. So who's going to be going to Hawkins?
It's probably going to be either Caden Brand or Ryan Burton.
Just don't kill Ryan Burton.
That's it. They might. I mean, they sent Brand to Patton last week and he kicked five. And I think they might do that and say, look, if Hawkins kicks four, we're okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to take that on the chin.
He'll probably kick 4-5.
It's Dangerfield you've got to worry about.
Yeah.
True. A couple of weeks ago, they sent Howe to Sloan, which is okay. He did excellent against Sloan. Dangerfield's a different league.
Yeah, for sure.
Dangerfield's got a bit more toe and a bit more muscle.
Yes, yeah, a lot. A lot of both.
Yeah.
Port Adelaide hosting North at Adelaide Oval. You had a bet on this year, didn't you, on percentage? Who was that with?
Hawthorn.
With Hawthorn. This might be your trouble game. The good news is Geelong might do you a favour and might be in the middle of the draw.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I think North is still about 10 points up in percentage on Hawthorn.
Pretty close.
So having a quick look there, Hawthorn are 83.6, North are at 92.7.
So nearly 10, yeah.
Yeah, so unless we get a 14 percentage point turnaround like St Kilda managed to.
Well, you only need 5% one way and then Hawks 5% the other way, I'm saying. I don't think it's going to happen.
So Hawthorn need to win by 8 goals and North need to lose by 8 goals for that to happen. Which isn't impossible.
I think one of those is going to happen.
Look, absolutely anything could happen, but I don't think it'll happen for four quarters for North.
Robbie Tarrant needs to beat Dixon. That's going to be his goal for the day.
He'll do it.
Yeah, he was embarrassed last week, and it won't happen 2 weeks in a row.
I think he's embarrassed based on the pace that they had, and I don't think Dixon's got the pace for him.
No. I think he will beat Dixon on the day, but it won't be enough.
Well, the person who needs to...
Trengrove down there as well, and then he's got to beat two of them.
The person who'll need to do something will be Jack Zeeble, because he got his tackles busted quite a few times. And that's unusual for him. He's usually one of the better tacklers. But he is probably going to be in and around Robbie Gray or Brad Ebert and needs to just stick the tackle every time he's near them.
Yeah. Suns and Collingwood at Metricon.
I'm on Suns. This could be the nail in the coffin game.
If Ablett comes back, I'm on the Suns. But if not, this is the kind of stuff that Collingwood, they just win just enough.
Yeah, they always make it a media debate of whether their coach should be sacked as opposed to a certainty.
Yeah.
So I feel like, this is the really one where they could just put that little needle of doubt into all the conversation going on at the moment.
Does it feel fun to look at that from the outside?
Oh, it feels fucking great. Yeah. But it also is quite fun on the inside too. we love sticking it to our own.
I did see some comment today where they were talking about, Richmond losing again, and they're like, how come there's never any pressure on the Richmond coach? I'm like, mate, where the fuck have you been?
Because they're top four.
God damn SA bias.
Plus, it's been happening every year since 1981.
Are you on the Suns then, both of you?
Yeah, I'm on the Suns.
I'm on the Suns.
I believe in dreams.
by far, I'm saying match of the round, Giants and the Swans at Spotless Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
The Swans have been unstoppable for the last month, and everything's been falling their way, too.
I mean,
they should never have gotten over Richmond. They had absolutely even less rights to beat Essendon, and that's happened. Then they come up against the Suns. Ablett drops out. It's just all falling their way. So they are going to absolutely Bradbury this one as well.
Yeah, and GWS have been like, that was the end of that story. They've lost games where they really should have won and drawn looked two, vulnerable.
Drawn two, they should have won.
And they should be sitting pretty at the top of that ladder with a couple of games in hand as opposed to where they are now, which I think is just percentage, isn't it, against the Crows?
It is now, yeah.
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 Well, I'm on the Giants. I think they've just got, in the ruck, they're just going to have too much strength with Mumford.
I think it's going to be very interesting. Like, I don't know how much of a home ground advantage they really have out there at Spotless, if it's going to be a big crowd to come out there. But you'd hope they would for the Battle of the Bridge, or the fuck they call it.
Yeah, that's a dumb name.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So I think Sydney will win, but I'm hoping that this is the point where GWS can turn their season around and really cement that top eight spot, top spot. And I'd like to see Sydney not make finals.
It's amazing, though, isn't it, that Giants are sitting second and we say turn their season around.
Yeah.
Well, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Arrest the momentum.
They need some of their players back from injury as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
The biggest thing I noticed in their game this week was that kids now are breaking tackles.
Yeah.
You know, that's
a bit of confidence,
Confidence and size, you know. Yeah. Four or five pre-seasons in.
Yeah.
You talk about injuries. They've got one of the longest injury lists of anyone.
I think it is the longest, literally.
Bunting, Coniglio, Deledio.
Yep,
lots. He's a great season. Finlayson, who no one knows. Toby Green, who's been massive for them, but might come back. Griffin, who won't be back probably for the season. Himmelberg, Hopper, Stevie Johnson. Don't know what's going on with him. Adam Kennedy's been handy. Tim Moa, Sam Reed. Taranto has been very handy for a young lad. Poor Lockie Tiziani, out for 2 weeks. He'll come back and tear it up again.
Yeah, he'll come back for three games and win a grand final for him.
And then Zach Williams has got a hammy test.
Yeah, he played well, actually, in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's a pretty big squad.
So I'm going to the Swans because it's the Cinderella Bradbury story for him.
Yep.
Melbourne hosting Adelaide up in Darwin or Alice Springs? I don't know where TIO is. I think it's in Darwin.
No, I'm pretty sure it's the Alice. Although I could easily be wrong with that.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. Anyway, it's
a small crowd, wherever it is.
And there'll be a streaker, without a doubt.
Yeah.
That's just what happens. They beat him in Adelaide Oval earlier on in the year, coming off a great win against Carlton.
Yeah.
Can they do it again?
I don't think so.
No, I think they've got too many outs.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's going to be a very big struggle. I think Adelaide would have learned a lot from that loss earlier in the season as well. So it'd definitely be one that they're really chomping at the bit to get back.
I mean, Bug's still out. No Jones,
Bug,
no
Brayshaw,
Viney, no Tyson,
no Salem,
no Watts. Watts was great for him
Last
time around too.
Yeah.
They've missed his skill around there.
Yeah. He might be back, but I wouldn't expect it.
Gorn has had 2 weeks in now, so this will be game number three. So he needs a big one if they're to get up, but I can't see it happening.
Be a big test.
Yeah, I can't see it happening.
Yeah,
I'm on Adelaide.
Yeah, they win.
Tigers and the Lions at Etihad Stadium.
Etihad Stadium. Well, this is some fucking bullshit. Hey, do that to us.
I love it that Richmond are playing their home game at Etihad. Meanwhile, Carlton are playing their home game at the MCG.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just to make it even. But, I mean, this is one that realistically is going to be a very close game because they match up well against us. I feel like their midfield is right up there with ours. So it's going to be a contest that's won around the ground as opposed to in that midfield, I feel. Well,
Do you just go Martin v Zorko head-to-head and see who wins?
Yeah, you have to make Zorko be accountable for Martin. That's what you need to be able to force them into that choice. So I feel like Richmond should have the advantage around the ground, but look, you saw last week we should have had that same thing against St Kilda, but we lost. So
Grimes is going to back up?
He should be, he should be back up. I mean, he took a wobbly kick after that, so I feel like, probably helped out memory in his judicial inquiry.
Yeah.
So if he had stayed down and probably taken a week off, I feel like memory could be out for 3 weeks. But I think he'll be back there. So we should get across the line. We should do it comfortably. But every chance that we get rolled.
It's like that for the Tigers. I'm still on the Tigers. I've got to do this one.
Yeah, I'm on this one with Tigers too. I think they can't play that shit 2 games in a row, surely.
Carlton and the Bulldogs at the MCG. That's a great matchup, I think.
Yeah, so do I.
But Bulldogs really need to show something. And I think the wide open spaces of the MCG might be just what they need.
Yeah, it's also I think the Bulldogs are very susceptible to their kicking efficiency. When they're not efficient, I feel like the game plan just falters, and their wide spaces could be almost enemy of the game plan because you're not hitting targets, and their zone can really set up a counter attack that they struggle to really cover. So I feel like if they're on and they're hitting targets, then that space will play into their advantage. But if they're not, I feel like it could be a liability.
Carlton without Cripps, that's a massive out.
It's harsh, isn't it?
Yeah. And Bulldogs got no outs. Like they're a clean list, which is fucking phenomenal at this time of year.
Even worse for where they're sitting on the ladder.
Yeah.
You know, compared to where they should be.
But, I think the open ground will suit JJ.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, sign a new contract, it's a bit of pressure off him and he can just go out and play like he used to.
Actually, we didn't talk about his goalpost hit with Tex.
I think they dealt with it fine. I mean, obviously he wasn't trying to hit him into the goalpost. Yeah. He was shepherding the ball through. You know, maybe it was a free kick without the goalpost being there, but having to push him towards the goalpost. And I thought, you know, Tex was remorseful before he even hit the post.
Yeah, that was the funny thing. You see the players run in, sort of remonstrate. He's like, yeah, I fucked up, guys. Sorry. Yeah.
And you see the Bulldogs players too, like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, all right, well, I guess we don't touch him now? End of the day,
they knew it. He wasn't trying to, you know, Rey Mysterio lawn darting.
You see the context, yeah.
Unlucky. Unlucky for both of them.
You got a fine, so I think we can put good bloke status on Tex.
Yeah, I think the Melbourne Hotel covers that fine, so...
Yeah, it was fair enough. And the Western Derby, the final one. And again, this is going to be another close one. West Coast and Frio. Frio in better form, but West Coast, geez, they need the win, don't they?
I'm going on Frio. I think this will be an upset.
I think it might be. I'm with Frio.
Nat Fife is looking damn good.
Yeah, and starting to warm into it.
They've found some cover for Sandilands being out.
In Hodor.
Yep.
I think their outside run is too much. The Eagles are looking a little bit, now that they've added Mitchell and Prittis together, they're a little bit slow.
Yeah, and with the injuries not sort of negating the avenues to goal, it's also always been a liability for them as well. So I think if they can kick straight and get it in there quick, which obviously is going to be a consequence of winning the middle ball, then they win. But obviously you wouldn't tip them as favourites to do that against Frio.
Well, Josh Kennedy's still got a shady calf, so...
He'll be back next week for 3 weeks now, so who knows?
Yeah,
maybe they'll save him for this one.
Yeah, so I think Frio will just get across the line, but it should be close.
All right, that'll do us for this week.
Yep.
We'll be back next week to talk about another round of footy.
Yep, hopefully it's a bit more positive podcast with our teams doing quite well next week.
I got no problems with the draw. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair enough.
All right, bye.
Peace.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.